each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Thank God it's Monday.
Happy Monday.
I was going to say TGIF, but the TGIM. Mm-hmm. Thank God it is Monday, and What a blessed day, because on this day was born.
Here we go.
Where's the birthday?
Where's the music?
It is me. I am the birthday boy.
There we go.
There you go.
Okay, we can cut it right there.
Cut it right there, never.
Yeah. What's that?
Better late than never.
He said, cut it right there,
yeah,
never.
There you go. So, Tony, you do look a bit older today than you did yesterday.
Just wiser, for sure.
Wiser, much wiser.
He already got his first birthday gift, the AARP card.
AARP. Yes. I was going to say, it looks like you've passed through the threshold of, what do you consider yourself now?
What do I consider myself?
Yeah. Because you're what? I've
been old for a long time.
but I want to say welcome into my club, but I can't say that. I'll never be able to say that.
No.
We're close.
Well, he's half a century old now.
Half a century.
Yeah. 50. Geraldine, can you remember 50. When you were 50?
Yes, I can.
You can remember
I
that?
I have pretty good memory. It's a long time ago, I know.
50. Can you believe that?
Can you believe
never
it?
Never thought I'd.
And so Tyrone's birthday is today, too.
Tyrone.
Mm-hmm. And then Armin's was yesterday.
And Armin's was yesterday. That's right. Happy birthday to Armin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Happy birthday.
Fantastic. Well, are you going to do anything special today? Are you in a better mood today than normal? Or?
Not really.
No?
Is it worse today than ever?
It's beautiful outside. Worse. It's kind of like the same.
The same.
But different.
Why should this day be any different? It shouldn't be different from any other day. So, no, but happy birthday and wishing you 50 more. Yeah. Nick said that at the deacon said that at the Mass yesterday. He, in his prayers, he prayed, you know, and Thanksgiving for the gift of my life and for my 60 years, and that God would give me 60 more years.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, you know, I really don't want 60 more years.
No.
I said that. I told him that. If you have your health and your youth, yeah, why not?
Good luck.
I like the challenge of life, you know, to be honest. Mm-hmm. In some ways, I wonder about that, you know, what, because as much as we complain in this life, I can't imagine being somewhere where you don't complain, you know, like, does that make sense?
And be with people who are not complaining either. I can't see myself fitting into that. No.
It would be boring. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, you know, it's,
you need some excitement.
It's eternal contemplation. So it's just being at peace in the presence of God. It's like being a child born, held in the arms of its mother.
Because then you appreciate those good moments. If they're always good, then it's just kind of...
Why do you sound different today, Christina?
I have a terrible cold. I just want to lay down and just crash.
Just stay where you are.
Get me sick, because I really don't want to go to work
more?
Today.
Oh, no, you don't want to say that.
No, I want
started to. Thursday,
no,
and
I'm
it
sorry
just got
about
worse.
That. That's, and you've had actually a busy week, and you've been singing all weekend.
That's why I think my throat is killing me.
Yeah. But I tell you, can we get off the subject of your birthday,
could
Tony?
We? Okay, could we, please?
thank you for your
We'll come back
there.
To that in a moment. So.
Just for a few minutes.
No, but that's it. No, really happy. We're happy to have. We thank God for the gift of your life.
Thank you.
We hope God will lift you out of your darkness and bring you into the light. You know, you should have been to the concert the other night. You weren't there.
Yeah, that's a long
that
story.
Oh, that was uplifting,
Tony.
Yeah,
it was a long story.
Yeah.
I really tried to get there.
Because that was our voices.
Yes.
Out of the dark into the light. And I tell you,
let's talk about that. That's what I missed. Yeah,
there's a lot of things that happened over this week. Can you imagine? I mean, a lot of things. So it's Monday, and you come off a weekend in a parish, and this was a weekend. Well, I guess we said almost every Monday, don't we? The same thing. But we had, for me, it started with morning mass on Saturday. Then I had the mass for the confirmation students as they were preparing for confirmation. They were in the retreat. They had retreat on Saturday. Then I had a funeral right after that. And then we began preparing for the concert. But in the meantime, I had the other mass, the evening mass. Then we had the concert. And then yesterday, of course, was Divine Mercy Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we had all the regular five masses plus the big mass at 3 o'clock, which is always just a powerful experience, isn't it? I don't know. What did you guys think from way up? You were there. That's right. You read.
Yeah, Tony read.
Yes. It was nice, wasn't it?
Beautifully.
You know, I go back and forth. I remember the times when the church was packed.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it in some odd way. I liked it, you know, there's a few people. And I don't know. I just like, but you see it dwindle a little bit because there's Divine Mercy masses everywhere now.
Yeah.
But you're right. It even with the fullness of the church, and just because I read and I was looking out.
Right.
It is a beautiful experience. And then the Divine Mercy sung in the three different languages. Right. That's the experience.
Beautiful way to end it,
for me.
Yeah. No, to go to your point, we started the masses. We began the celebration of the Divine Mercy here long before Pope John Paul II promulgated Sunday as Divine Mercy Sunday, and this was certainly in keeping with the request of Jesus to Saint Maria Faustina that the octave of Easter, the eighth day of Easter, would be designated throughout the world as the Divine Mercy Sunday. And so Pope John Paul II, when he went into the papacy, he took her writings, which had been suppressed because she died, gosh, when did she die? 1938, I think she died in 1938. Right. And I mean, really, her diary is just an interesting preparation for the Second World War and then for the
totally
papacy
beautiful.
Of John Paul II. Because she speaks about, Jesus says that a spark would come out of Poland and prepare the world for my second coming. And that John Paul II would be raised to the chair of Peter, you know, in what, 1978, I think it was, 78 or 79? 78.
78.
I think, 1978. And in her, of course, her writings, she was a mystic, and her writings were suppressed by the church, as happens. Mm-hmm. It has happens because, you know, it just happens. Why does it happen? Because, I don't know, Jerry, tell me, why does it happen?
Somebody decides they don't want anything to do with that.
Well, I think it's you know, giving space, right? Space. Mm-hmm.
Just being cautious.
Certainly cautious. There's prudence. Caution and
prudence.
The church always plays a devil's advocate when it comes to mysticism. Mm-hmm. Not mysticism per se, because the church is mystical.
Sure.
The mass itself is a mystical experience. You know, not when we say mystical, we're not, you know, floating in the, could happen, I guess, but it's just that if we would remove ourselves from the distractions, the noise, and really reflect and contemplate the prayers of the Mass, there's nothing more beautiful. You just can't improve on those prayers.
No, you can't.
They're so beautiful. I mean, every day, and it changes it with the seasons and with the saints' days, and, you know, it's so beautiful. I think about that all the time, really, is that even more so now than ever before, I think, when I, you know, what was interesting, you know, on Sunday, because I shared with our listeners last week, the song, Is That All There Is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's all there is, then my friends, let's just keep dancing and bring out the booze and have a ball and all that. And so I use that as the mantra of that song is kind of built off that to bring it into the Divine Mercy Sunday. That in fact it's not all there is. You know, there's much more. The best is yet to come, always, and that we delve into this, get into the story, and really get in on the way and the journey and the adventure of it all. But the I thought at one point, and I asked the question. I keep asking the question because I'm asking myself always, you know, how to distinguish between pessimism and hope, not necessarily optimism, but and so in the homily, I was speaking about the the reality. And I even asked the question, didn't I? Is this pessimistic? Speaking about the fleeting pleasures of life, profound, good pleasures, but they're fleeting. Youth mm-hmm. is fleeting. How did you get from there to here, Tony? You're 50 years old. I mean,
one day at a time.
How did you get from that? I was asking the question in the homily because Sister Guadalupe was there, and so when I said Sister, I said, Sister Guadalupe, how do we get from there to here? Because when I met her, I was 29 years old, mm-hmm. and she was a mentor for me in many ways. She's a missionary of charity, and by the way, so I had was Mother Teresa and John Paul II were my mentors. I would say when I was going through the seminary, that's how I survived, along with the Holy Eucharist and the Blessed Virgin and the Blessed Virgin Mary. But we've been so blessed to have had Pope John Paul mm. II and Mother Teresa, these two saints. And
it's always a blessing to have the missionaries.
Sure is, yeah, isn't it? Either. Yeah, they were at the Mass.
Yeah, they were at the Mass.
There were quite a few of them.
Yes.
And they led the rosary at the beginning.
Yeah, and God always provides. Father, when you mentioned, is there people set up for the rosary? And I thought, I didn't want to tell you anything, but I said, I got to... find
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, no, because that. So I called. I didn't want to step on anybody's toes. So I called. Did you get someone? No. Okay, I have to find someone then. So right. I went out there, and people, they're like, well, I want to go to confession, but if you don't have anyone, then I'll do it. And who comes in? Here come the missionaries.
The sisters,
of charity.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, they would be. And they never say no to it.
They never say no.
They know. So they agreed. And I said, sisters, I was looking, and God always provides, and firsthand how he always provides. And they smiled. They said, yes, he does.
It's amazing. I think the Divine Mercy Sunday comes, well, I don't think, indeed, it comes after Christmas, I keep going.
Way after Christmas.
Are we moving towards Christmas, or are we coming away from Christmas?
We're going towards.
But after Easter, I guess it happens, because this happens the last couple of years. And it's extremely stressful for me as a stressor. Just like I was saying, we're going to be all over the place perhaps this morning, but so I mentioned
Monday.
At the 7:30 Mass. You know what happened at the concert? We'll go back to the concert. We're going to be all over the place. So, but in fact, let me just, one of our, a couple, they come, they don't belong to the parish, but they come from time to time, and they came for the Divine Mercy. They were here for the concert as mm-hmm. well as for the Divine Mercy. And, They had been on a pilgrimage with us, some years ago.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Right, who?
Sir Lannis.
Who?
Joan.
Yes, Joan, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she said, I saw her at the concert, before the concert, and she said, we listen to the show all the time. And she said, it's really learning all the personalities. I said, well, I don't know if that's so good. You're learning all the personalities and all that. And she said, it's so funny sometimes, and I said, I apologize. I know we're, somewhat scattered. And she goes, yes, and complete, yeah, scattered all over the place, But she says, well, did you get anything spiritual? She goes, yes, of course. She said, I like the show. I think she said, I love the show.
That's what people say.
People say that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, thanks be to God. In spite of you guys, in spite of us.
We're sorry, Father.
I know.
When people come up and they say, are you the one on the, I'm like, maybe. And then I'm embarrassed because I'm like, they probably think I'm crazy, which I am.
Yeah. No, no, you're not crazy. But the same thing happens to me when people want to say something. I'm kind of cautious. In fact, I kind of beat them to it. I said, I apologize already for being, all over the place. But anyway, so go back to the concert. We'll try to address Tony's question, since it's his birthday and he asked a question about the concert. So this is the one thing I'll remember always about the concert, is that I was sitting in the congregation, in the assembly.
I know where this is going.
I know.
Because, how do you know?
Oh, I know.
That doesn't happen.
I know the...
Yes, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. I know.
Did you know it too?
Oh, I noticed it from Holy Saturday. It was bugging me.
Well, why didn't anybody say anything? Since Holy Saturday?
Yes, I noticed it right away.
I don't believe it.
Yes,
okay. Because the high altar is behind me, Mm-hmm. So I'm in the... I can't believe it's been since Holy Saturday.
I even asked my father, what happened?
And nobody corrected it. So I'm in the assembly, you know, looking in. Normally I'm on the, in the sanctuary looking out at the people. And I'm sitting there, the concert begins, and I'm looking at the high altar, and I thought, we're missing a lily there. You know, there's three lilies. There's three on one shelf. Then there's the two, and then there's the one or something like that, because there's three different shelves on the high altar. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful high altar, which has just been redone. Parts of it have been redone. And I noticed, you know, there's only two lilies on the to my left side as I'm looking in. And I couldn't get my head, I couldn't get my mind off that through the whole concert because it looked so odd. And I thought somebody forgot to put the third lily there.
But you know why?
And I'm, it, well, just, so I'm certainly thinking, I'm thinking the whole time, and I was already prepared at the end of the concert to apologize to the people that there was a missing lily there because they're recording this as well. And so they're saying, you know, who is the idiot pastor at this parish that permits, you know, because it always goes back to the pastor, right? And so the, so I, after it was all over, I forgot about that because I was I left the body of the church, and of course there was all this confusion at the end because I had to say the final words of gratitude, thanking them, and then I didn't know if they were going to say anything or not. And then, of course, one thing led to another, and before you know it, it was 10 o'clock. God bless you, Christina. 10 o'clock, and so then the next morning I got up, and I'm going into the 7:30 Mass. As soon as I walked into the sanctuary, I reverence the altar. I look up and I see that there's a missing lily. I never know. So since Holy Saturday,
I
was
noticed
missing.
It right away.
So why was it missing?
Because we ordered the same amount of lilies, except there's a it's a whole long story. The other store is not open anymore. But anyway, I asked my father what happened to the what happened to the other lily, and he said, "Well, you notice the one in the back? There's one by the cross up by the that's the one that should have gone there, but since there has to be one there, then that's the one that was missing."
But after the 7:30 Mass, because I said, didn't I mention?
Then they took it from the other, we had other lilies from, I don't know, it was Our Lady Guadalupe or from
Divine Mercy.
Divine Mercy, they took
one. So why didn't they do that for Holy Saturday?
My father said, that wasn't me.
Somebody's going to be fired here.
No, my I asked my father, because somebody asked my dad, he said it was Becky and Anya who were the ones in charge of the decoration, so it's on them. He said, I had, they were the ones in charge.
Well, anyway, that
I have
funny.
A better explanation. The lilies were so beautiful that one of the angels at the high altar
took it.
Maybe.
So,
well, I don't think people are thinking in that such way. You're flying high.
You're mentioning that you noticed
it's
it
my birth.
Saturday. I noticed it a week before, but because I'm up on the choir loft, where you see everything from up there.
I can't, you know, that now that now that I'm fuming inside, knowing that it's been like that.
It's been like it was, and nobody said anything.
Anyway,
nobody noticed.
Well, the first time I noticed it.
Since you,
we're gonna
it
take
out.
A break, and then we'll talk. I want to certainly thank everybody for being at the concert, and the Divine Mercy will go to your question after we take a break, because I'm really angry now. I got to get this out of my system.
You don't look angry, no.
I know.
You can't
your
get
face
angry.
Is not red.
You can't get angry at my birthday.
No, but during the concert, I couldn't get my mind off that. I said, where is the other? Who took the lily? Who took the lily? It looked really odd.
Don't you hate when that happens?
I do, yeah. Because I wanted to enjoy the concert, and it was a good concert, you know. And
you focused on that whole
lily.
Well,
because I felt like everybody was asking, who's the idiot pastor that would permit the church, such a beautiful church, to have such a flaw?
I think they were all trying to.
Well, you know, that's a good thing. You know why? Because then that shows you that no one's perfect, just God. Exactly. Only God is perfect.
There's a whole bunch of flawed people there, too.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah. So,
but people
we're
don't,
all flawed.
They knew about it and didn't tell anyway.
Only God
about
is
earlier.
Perfect.
All right, let's get over the lily. So it's a minor thing anyway, isn't it?
Probably people didn't even notice.
All right, we'll be right back. I'm Father. You said you noticed and you didn't
say
anything.
Well, that's just me.
Hey, it's my birthday.
Okay, happy birthday.
The whole
happy
of the
birthday,
octave.
Tony.
The whole of the octave. Anyway, we'll be right back on Father Anthony. You're listening to Lucas Point of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
On Wednesday, April 29th at 7 p.m., hear Juliana Tamarazzi of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council share with us the story of persecuted Christians in our world. Learn their real story. Wednesday night, April 29th at 7 at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Complete details on the events calendar on the homepage at ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. sponsored by Respect Life Ministries of the Orland Park Parishes of Our Lady of the Woods, St. Francis of Assisi, and St. Michael, and the Homer Glen Parishes of St. Bernard and Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Okay, so it's Monday after. This has been the 8 days, so we've just come out of the octave. So it's I always have to apologize that we're not making, not getting any deeper than this, but we will. But anyway, going back to the concert, it was nice. They did a nice job. The host, Josephine, who was on the show,
beautiful voice.
And William Neal did a great job. He composed this. It was a premiere performance. Tom.
The musician.
The
other musician.
Yes.
Played the flute and other instruments, didn't he?
Yeah, The bass clarinet. The jazz was a little bit of a jazz in
there,
too.
That's what the improvisation.
Right.
You just play your thing. Within the range. Yeah, sure. It has to be within the range.
Okay. And then she came out just into the dark church with a candle, and Jeff, the beautiful. They love the acoustics of the church. Sure. It was just absolutely beautiful, the acoustics. And we had a nice turnout. I was very, very happy with the turnout. So I want to thank everybody for coming.
And the choir
coming.
Got to sing at the...
And the choir. Yeah, I forget. Yes, you
we
guys.
Sang at
we always
the
forget
choir.
About the choir, but you guys Even did the Black Madonna.
We're not professionals, but hey, we do our best.
You were with the professionals, and you were right up there with them. So it was very, very nice. So thanks, everybody, for coming. Sorry you couldn't be here, Tony, but... anyway, Geraldine, you weren't here for it, were you?
No. I couldn't get a ride, Father.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we could have gotten you a cab or something if I had thought about it. But
or a horse and buggy.
No. Anyway, and then of course Sunday was.
It was beautiful.
Beautiful. The processions, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy, the whole thing. Everything was just beautiful.
And even though other churches celebrate Divine Mercy, we still get a nice crowd.
Yeah,
we still have a nice crowd.
Yeah, like as we mentioned earlier on, we started this before it was promulgated, and so we had, I'd say we had well over a thousand people at one time in the beginning.
Yeah. Oh,
it started out slow, and then within a couple of years, it was like overnight, it grew, and then the Pope promulgated the Sunday after Easter, the octave, as the Sunday of the Divine Mercy. And so the celebrations it's celebrated in all the parishes, and usually a grand celebration at the 3 o'clock hour, because that's the hour of mercy. So that's as a result. So that's a good thing. I mean, that's a great thing.
No, yes.
But we still get a lot of people, and people that come from out of town as well.
Yes.
So at the end of the Mass, it was just so nice seeing the people who have been coming. Sure. Some people have been coming since we started.
It started, yes.
And I guess over 10 years ago, was it? It's been... It's been over 10 years, probably about 12 or 13 years.
See, for me, it's always... It's not just the 3 o'clock. It's the whole day.
The whole day.
We still do our 10 o'clock obligation.
Right.
And I would never think, oh, well... Yeah, I'll come at 3 o'clock, but not at 10. So it's for me, it's a full day.
Mm-hmm.
My family, they don't understand that. This is our obligation, and this is what we do, and it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because in the old days, before my time, but in your time, Geraldine.
Yes, Father.
You know.
Yes.
You, by the way, yes, Father. I told Nick at the end of the mass at the Spanish. I said, Nick, before the bison, just would you give me my cane, please, my bastón? So I had to mention at the 7:30 mass that, you know, even though I had turned 60, that, you know, it's always nice to know that there are others who are older than I am, and I had to point Jerry out right there sitting in the front, didn't I?
Put you
Jerry
announced in it spot. Ahead of time.
I announced it ahead of time. And
someone at the Spanish Mass was celebrating their birthday. She was over 60, of course.
Well, I mentioned that as well.
You pointed her out, I heard, yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard about that.
And then I said, anybody over 60, you know, raise your hand. And the people raised their hand. The men raised their hands. The women didn't raise their hands.
Oh, Yolanda says she did.
Did she? Yeah.
Yes. You didn't see her on purpose.
Exactly. And I told them, I says, you know, I know you're all very happy that I'm 60 because misery loves company, right? So anyway. But you know what really happened over the weekend, too, that was just, I think, phenomenal, and something to look forward to is the Holy Father has promulgated or convoked, I guess the word is, it's a convocation of mercy, the Holy Year of Mercy, the Jubilee, a Jubilee of Mercy. And I just, after the 11:30 Mass, so I had already had, four Masses in three different languages. Not that I want you to feel sorry for me or pat me on the back. Oh, wow, this priest is amazing. Wow,
he's amazing.
Super priest, but only by the grace of God. And not super at all, but God is super. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, if God gives me the grace, you know, that's the thing. I really believe in the power of God's grace because it's humanly impossible. I couldn't do it. If somebody told me, you know, years ago that I would be doing three, you know, all these Masses in different languages and all that, I'd say, you got to be nuts. Mm-hmm. And then a radio on top of that, that's really out of the ordinary. But just by the grace of God, because you hit the precipice, really. You're ready to go over. And after the 11:30 Mass, I was just dead to the world, tired. Now, we had this big Mass coming up. Mm-hmm. And so I went because the choir was, they were having their little party, a little feast, a little luncheon. Didn't invite me in, but I just went in and took some sandwiches and all that. But then I, for some reason, and I was just dead to the world, but I, you know, I downloaded the papal bull of indiction of the Extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy and started reading it. It's 15 pages long. Mm-hmm. And I was so inspired by it. It's so beautiful. We're going to be sharing this with you in the days to come or in the weeks to come and the months, because this is the year, because it's going to begin on the 8th of December, 8th of December, and it'll, on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and then it will conclude on the Feast of Christ the King.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
But I was so inspired by this, and I wanted to just, you know, trash my own what I was going to speak about, and just go to the exhortation or to the bull of indiction. Kind of talk about that too. What is that? You know, because I was even in my mind. What now? So what is a? It's a papal bull, B-U-L-L, bull of indiction. Then there's encyclical. Then there's apostolic letters, and there's pastoral letters. So what's the difference? You know, and I think during the homily I was, because I made some reference to it as I always use the word exhortation because it's a teaching, but it is a teaching. There is a teaching that comes through, but technically speaking, it's not an exhortation. It's not strictly speaking a letter, but I'll explain that in a second. But I decided, you know, I'm not, because I hadn't prepared for that, and I had just read it, you know, just a very rough reading, just going through very quickly, but just what I read, it was so inspiring. So I stayed with what I wanted to. So what I had been speaking about, and I was happy I did because I thought it really well. Because I don't know if you noticed, but it was a little different from the 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
I was able to expound on some of that, and it occurred to me during the exhortation or during the homily that as I got towards the end of it that faith is when we talk about God's most beautiful attribute, which is mercy. He's a merciful God, and this was the Divine Mercy Sunday, that the there's so many things you can speak about in so far as, you know, what is, how do we define or how do we understand the mercy of God? But faith itself is a manifestation of God's mercy. Mm-hmm. That Jesus says, even if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. And of course, in the I was speaking about the song that we spoke about last week, Is That All There Is? And that life is full of disappointments and can leave us rather disappointed and rather depressed unless we are swept into the God's divinity. And this, I think, is the most beautiful thing about the life journey, is that God is with us on the journey. We come from God, we go to God, in God we live, that the Lord is present to us, and so we can really allow ourselves to be swept into His divine mystery and find in there great freedom and a lot of space to grow, you know. Because I think I didn't mention this yesterday, I don't think I've probably mentioned on the radio, but in life, the reality is that the body does deteriorate. We're all talking about, you know, age. You know, Tony mm-hmm. just turned 50. I just turned 60. Jerry's going to turn 80. Mm-hmm. Christina's going to turn 40. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
You're all old.
Yeah.
We're old.
Get out the... Anyway. But the spirit, you know, the beautiful thing is the spirit doesn't...
stays young.
It stays young. Mm-hmm. And the more we stay with Christ...
Yes.
The younger we become,
mm-hmm.
the younger we become
people
in a sense.
Like children.
Why is it?
Not childlike, but not childish, but childlike.
Childlike, yeah. So there's it's an ability to have greater trust, mm-hmm. right? And that was the thing that I added in the afternoon. I believe by the grace of God, because it just, it occurred. It's not something we haven't heard before. We talk about it, but how we have to give us this day our daily bread, that every day mm-hmm. it's we need to hear it.
Yeah,
we need to savor this this gift that has been given. You know, it's just like if you're hungry today, you're hungry today. That piece of bread, if that's all you've got and you're hungry, it's the best piece of
it's the best.
The best, right? Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, you'll be hungry again, and so it's the bread that will satisfy that hunger, all right? Or the water will satisfy thirst.
Yeah.
And so it is in the life journey, mm-hmm. the spiritual journey of our lives, is that it's not having to look for this guru or that guru or, mm-hmm. you know, what's going to bring me flying high, but it's basically being in the work of life, in the... getting our hands dirty in the dirt of life, in the battle, and not trying to escape what are our responsibilities, but to be true to those responsibilities mm-hmm. and to suffer the trials and the mm-hmm. tribulations and the oppression and the stress mm-hmm. and the tiredness and all that stuff, sure. you know, the disappointments. But to know that we don't despair because God is constantly lifting us up. And when it seems that, you know, we can't take a step forward, that we've reached wit's end, you know, we discover that, in fact, we have not.
You know, and to always put your faith in God and, like, the divine mercy, Jesus, I trust in you.
Sure.
And we're able to receive the body and blood mm-hmm. of Jesus to sustain us. That's something that a lot of people, they would deny it, and they wouldn't believe that it has any power, but it has a tremendous power.
Sure. They don't understand it.
I know.
They don't understand it. But see, there again, there's the gift, right? The
yes.
faith, mm-hmm. you know, faith. We have faith in this Eucharist that we receive, mm-hmm. that this is the body, the blood, and soul, and divinity. Geraldine, you speak about that a lot, and this is something that you've, because I've always found that this rather interesting about you, and that is that you have been... I mean, there's a lot of interesting things about you.
Right.
Don't give me that face, you know. I mean, but for so many years, even when you were a drunk,
yeah,
you would say,
yes.
"I'm not," because you would say that, right?
Yeah. I would say it,
and
yes.
I think that's part of the story. I think that's part of your story. But you never missed a day of Mass.
No,
it's amazing.
No. I couldn't go to communion all the time, but that's how it is. You know,
what was so? A little bit about that, you know, what
it's the power of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, because I believed in it, I knew I was not fulfilling what I should be doing, but it strengthened me to know that this was the path that I could be on, and I was just grateful for it.
But doesn't that says, see, there too, you know, that says something about, and I tell you, that's why the inspiration I gleaned from this, the papal bull.
Yeah.
That yes, indeed, you know, this, and I've said it before, but I mean to understand it at a deeper place, at a deeper level, the mercy of God, so that even in sinfulness or even when bound, mm-hmm. let's just, we'll use your example of mm-hmm. of alcoholism,
right?
Because you're not, again, I'm not, you know, it's probably, I hear I'm telling everybody your age, and then I'm talking about your
business.
Is there anything left?
But I mean, no, because this is who you are, and you've mm-hmm. been very open about that. And I think mm-hmm. you know the strength that people get from that is because many people have been there.
And I thank God for the past 30 years, because I'm not where I used to be.
Sobriety.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I haven't deviated from the Catholic Church. And there are a lot of people in AA who hate the Catholic Church, who want nothing to do with it, and tell me how they've joined this group of evangelicals or somebody else. They don't understand what we have in the Catholic Church. It's greater than any little glitzy thing that they may pick up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, you do know. Mm-hmm. You do know. And I'm saying that this is a thing that I was, even in the, I was thinking about this morning as well, yesterday, between today and yesterday, but the, to use that as an example, but after reading this apostolic letter, because I'm asking myself as a priest, you know, and especially because we are the sanctuary of the divine mercy, and we want to keep the doors open.
Yes.
And I petitioned the cardinal or the archbishop mm-hmm. today to recognize that we're here as we prepare for the jubilee of mercy, because we're right off the Kennedy Expressway, and anybody, just about anybody who comes through these doors, they know they've taken a step into, through the doors, into sacred space. So I told the Archbishop today, I says, you know, our doors have been open for this encounter
yes.
with the merciful Jesus. Now, that means that each and every one of us, because one of the things that he says is he wants to send the church out as missionaries of mercy. And I like that. It's very beautiful in the bull, that he wants to send the church out as missionaries of mercy. So the holy door is opening. They've opened the holy door. And it's the door of mercy. There's a special door at the Vatican mm-hmm. that is kept sealed, except it's open only during the Jubilee years. And it's the door that people now enter. Well, they will. I don't know if they already are. That was one thing I didn't quite understand. And it's, again, this has all happened since yesterday or Saturday, but only yesterday I started reading about it. So I'm not quite sure. It seems to me that they've opened the door, or maybe they haven't officially opened the door.
Until
December 8th.
Yeah.
Because they gave the convocation. They've issued the proclamation, the convocation, to the Jubilee of Mercy, but I checked back on that and I'll let you know. But mm-hmm. I get the sense that they opened the door, or maybe they just went to the door, because the door will open officially, and then the pilgrims will be they'll make pilgrimage and they'll pass through that door. This is the door of God's mercy. By the way, this is something that goes back to the times of. The Israelites and the Jews, you know, the years of Jubilee years, where this is often a year of forgiveness, a year of, you know, bringing everybody to a place where they can renew their lives in Christ, be forgiven of their sins and all that, just as Jesus wanted the Divine Mercy Sunday. People say, well, that seems a bit odd, you know. How can the church just say, well, that on Sunday, if you go to confession, you go and you participate in the sacred mysteries, the liturgy of the day, you contemplate, reflect, meditate on the image of Christ Jesus, put your trust in the Lord, that the you'll be set free from sin, but isn't this a manifestation of God's mercy? Isn't this what a parent does to a child? Sometimes says, you know, okay, I forgive you. God is always willing to forgive. I mean, that's a way of confession, and he wants nothing more than that we be repentant, that we recognize our sins, that we come away from our sin, come away from our own darkness into his light, to come into friendship. He wants us, he doesn't want us to be estranged. He doesn't want us to be left out of the family. He wants to bring us into the family. He wants to bring us into friendship. He wants to walk with us on the way. And we're the block, right? Because we create the barriers. But this is where the church is, the Pope is challenging the church as well. The church meaning her members, that we don't create the block. We don't create the walls, but we break down the walls. We open the doors. We open the windows and allow people to come in and to encounter. So I was telling the Archbishop today that this is precisely what we've been doing, is we've kept the doors open. Now it's for each and every one of us who minister in the church to be changed ourselves. I'm saying this would be a year for us, as I'm already thinking about the future, you know, what we're going to do during this year of mercy. And then, of course, we celebrate 150 years as a parish a year after. That's another jubilee. For us. Yes. It's like a double jubilee back to back. But my suspicion is that this is gonna seal the identity of the parish as the sanctuary of the divine mercy, which means that for us, and this is throughout the world, but I'm speaking as a pastor of this very specific parish, and I would include anybody listening to the radio as well, because I consider anybody that comes through these doors, I consider them part of the parish. But but that we have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, you know, where do I get in the way, or where do I inauthenticate, or in what ways do I create a block for another? In what ways have I been, you know, have I been the problem? Each one of us must be a door, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We must all, Jesus speaks of himself as a door. I am the door. You know, think about this. Everything that Jesus says of himself, he says of each and every one of us, because the goal of the Christian life is to have Jesus reproduce his life in us. That's why we have this great gift of the Holy Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Jesus gave us so that he actually feeds us with himself, you know, and so we feed on the Lord. It's just like with any food, you know, you eat food and you become that food in a sense, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you're eating sugar all the time, then it's going to have an impact. It's going to affect who you are. Mm-hmm. It's going to take possession, right? It takes possession of your body, whether it be fat, whether it be a sugar, whether it be whatever it might be. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, you know, and we do so frequently, this is why, you know, I think I would perhaps, if I were raised to the chair, Peter, I would probably issue the obligation to participate daily in the Eucharistic mystery, into the sacred mysteries of the faith, because the world seems to me that it needs that we are becoming him whom we receive. You know, so we're being fed with the Word of God, we're being fed with the Holy Eucharist, and in this we're putting ourselves in the story, and we're giving the Lord the space to change us. So to authenticate this sanctuary of the divine mercy, our lives have to be authenticated. Because if people come and they find that we're grouchy, or we're angry, or we're pessimistic, or we're dark, you know, all the things that I can be at times, you know, then that's it before they can perhaps encounter Jesus mysteriously, beautifully in the Eucharist, in the ambience of the church, or let's just say they find, because often people will come through the door and they say, wow, there is something so beautiful. There's a presence, there's a peace, there's a calm, there's a light, there's a silence that's not an empty silence, but it's like I can hear the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's true. But then if we who are his ambassadors, we who are his disciples, we who are the identified members of the family, if we're not living or allowing that sacred. We don't allow Jesus to take possession of our lives, and then we can be the cause of people going away because they want to see authenticity. They want to see that, in fact, what they experience is indeed true. And I think this is where we falter. This is why we humbly come before the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof, but say only the word and my soul will be healed. So anyway, we've got to take a break, and we will be right back and continue talking about this. I'll explain the difference between a bull and an apostolic letter, an encyclical, a pastoral letter, and all that, okay? Because the Pope has issued this, the bull of indiction of the extraordinary jubilee of mercy. All right, we'll be right back. And Father Anthony, you're listening to the Listener Supporter Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loyer of the Tabor Life Institute. I'm inviting you to an opportunity to be pierced by the sheer beauty of God's plan for your life, to make the connection between God, sex, and the meaning of life.
As Father Loya invites you to hear renowned speaker and author Christopher West, Saturday, April 25th, at St. Mary Immaculate Parish in Plainfield, Illinois.
Original sin for all of us, for every human being on the planet, has disoriented our desires. We often find ourselves hungry for things that don't satisfy the ache, don't satisfy the need.
Join Christopher Saturday, April 25th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. at St. Mary Immaculate Parish, 15629 South Route 59, Plainfield, Illinois. Limited seating. Register online to coreseminar.evenbright.com. Core spelled C-O-R, Bright spelled B-R-I-T-E. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. On Wednesday, April 29th at 7 p.m., hear Juliana Tamarazzi of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council share with us the story of persecuted Christians in our world. Learn their real story. Wednesday night, April 29th at 7 p.m. at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Complete details on the events calendar on the homepage at ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. Sponsored by Respect Life Ministries of the Orland Park Parishes of Our Lady of the Woods, St. Francis of Assisi, and St. Michael, and the Homer Glen Parishes of St. Bernard and Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we kind of wrap up. I didn't realize it was so late already in the end of the show, but I want to go back, and again, forgive me if I'm all over the place, but I want to go back to that question, Jerry, that I directed to you about the faith, the gift of faith you have, you know, that even when you were, you know, drinking, and you even said you didn't go to communion, but you still believed. You believed, and you were there. You went to Mass every day, even though you didn't feel you were worthy to go to Holy Communion. Now, 30 years you've been sober, and I was, as I read the Pope's, the bull, I'll get back to that in a moment. I was thinking about that because I guess what I'm reflecting on today as we're talking is, What do we need to do? What do I need to do as a pastor? What do I need to do? Because I think in many ways we're in a defensive mode. You know, we're trying to defend ourselves against the what seems like an assault of a way of thinking and a way of acting that is really so contrary to the faith, to the moral precepts of the church, to the laws of the church. This is the commandments of God, and the church. I mean, the church. The Pope will make some reference to that in this exhortation. I'm going to call it an exhortation because it's easier for me to say than bull. Bull sounds like a. But anyway,
the running of the bulls in Pamplona. Yes,
I guess whatever you know. But and I was thinking, you know, because we tend to be. I do. I'm speaking for myself, but I think you know, there's been for so long this kind of. This a kind of anger, a kind of defensiveness, and you know, so the challenge is going to be how do you uphold the truth? Certain things just can't change. They just mm-hmm. can't change because things are ordained a certain way. God has laid out a certain plan. This is what's expected of us. So there's not going to be an acceptance of the vices or the the sins, what do we call those, like gluttony and lust and
capital sins,
the capital sins. Okay, we're a loving church, a merciful church, so you can do whatever you want. We're just going to be a very kind people. We're going to be kind, of course, but the thing is, I go back to your example, and I was thinking about the hot button, one of these hot button issues today, and that is the redefinition of marriage. Now, the church will never support the redefinition of marriage, mm-hmm. and so because of that, you know, that so often it's, well, you know, we're viewed as being hateful or bigoted or whatever it might be. Okay, we got to put that aside, first of all, because the church isn't going to change. That's just not going to change.
Right.
But how do we minister? I'm thinking, I'll just go right to the point. I'm thinking of people who are afflicted, people who really are struggling, just as much as you speak about your own addiction to alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It's an addiction. It's a sin, but it's an addiction, right?
Right.
Okay. So there may be a fine line between what is sickness, what is sin.
Yeah.
Sin is sickness. Sickness mm-hmm. is sin. I mean, we're all sinful. That's why we all, you know, we're all a little bit sick. Sick, sinful people. At least we have to humbly recognize and admit that about ourselves so that we humbly come before the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you. And I need others to support me on the way, not to support me in my sin, but to help me to keep hope,
mm-hmm.
To be in the light, and not to succumb to darkness. And so if, you know, people who come through the doors of the church, they come to Mass, they come to pray, you know, they're coming with their own afflictions. Yeah. It may be this or that or whatever. Maybe it's something that was done to them. Maybe it's something they know they're doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody says, you know, I'm, and of course they do, because I deal with this all the time with people addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs, addicted to pornography. I'm using the word addiction, so let's not even use the word, but habitual behavior that is
mm-hmm.
that is bad behavior. It'll soothe the pain of their life, whatever pain they're
temporarily,
suffering.
Temporarily, yes.
Temporarily. Mm-hmm. I'm saying just in a temporal way. It's a falsehood.
Yes.
But the people that are afflicted with homosexuality, the struggle that they're struggling with that, mm-hmm. and in a world that creates a lot of conflict because basically giving a green light to do whatever, whenever, however, whatever. But they're there.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. And they know. And so they're, you know, they believe they're there. And they want that God not turn his back on them. That God will turn his loving, merciful, and a gentle gaze toward them, even in their affliction.
If you speak up and tell people what has happened to you, I remember at a meeting I was talking, to somebody. I don't preach Catholic Church. I don't preach you people are bad because you don't go to church anymore. But I said how important it is to me to go to Mass every day and receive communion. And afterwards, a week later, a man came up to me and he said, I heard what you said. He said, I had not been to Mass in 21 years. He said, because of how strongly you felt about this, he said, I went to church. And wow. He said, I couldn't go to communion. He said, that came for another time that I had to go to confession. But he said, you gave me strength knowing that somebody else could do something and maybe I could do it too. And wow.
Well, see, there you go. I think as we're going to be reflecting on and moving towards this year of mercy, this Jubilee year of mercy, that we have to ask, you know, the Lord, show us a way. How do we convey to others? And right. It's just if the invitation is extended, that this means something to me, so that in my affliction, in my distress, in my whatever it may be, that I find consolation, I find peace, I find that God is there. I think one of the things, and this is something we have to think about as well, you know, that we've come to a point in the church where everybody feels that they must go to communion. And mm-hmm. really, you know, in a sense, maybe there are times when we consciously do not, because either certainly we're not in a state of grace, or I'm just throwing that out there, because I think, you know, if somebody comes and they know that they're not worthy, mm-hmm. that they're just not ready, they're not in the grace, we can talk about this later at some point, mm-hmm. but everybody else goes and they stay behind.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a lonely place to be. But if you know that there's others that are not going as well, then he says, well, I'm not, certainly we come to communion as sinners. That's why we say, Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof. Say but only the word and I shall be healed. And the Lord says, come. If we're in friendship with God, if we're really sincerely struggling to keep afloat and to humbly come before the Lord because we're in need of God's grace, because we don't want this part of ourselves, whatever it is, to take possession of us, mm-hmm. whether it be the anger, whether it be the greed, whether it be whatever it might be,
yeah.
you know? Anyway, we're just kind of throwing a lot of things up, but we're going to be looking at all this,
right.
And I'm excited about this because I think this is a time of great grace. I think a time of great grace because there is a lot of confusion out there. And as the Pope, and we didn't get into the distinction, we'll do it tomorrow, between the bull and the apostolic letter, but the Pope basically opens the bull of indiction, says that Jesus Christ is the face of the Father's mercy, and these words might well sum up the mystery of the Christian faith. Mercy has become living and visible in Jesus of Nazareth, reaching its culmination in Him. The Father, rich in mercy, after having revealed His name to Moses as a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, has never ceased to show in various ways throughout history His divine nature, but He has revealed Himself fully in Jesus Christ. So there's a lot to look forward to. I think there's a lot to look forward to. All right, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be